Good job, bro. Thank you once again for letting Janet and me come and be with you today. My levity involves some sanitary hair dryers that was put in the restrooms to dry people's hands. And after they were there a couple of weeks, they disappeared. An investigation showed that the preacher was the one responsible. And when they asked him why, he confessed. He says, "When I went in and I saw the sign that said, 'For a sample of last Sunday's sermon, press the button,' they just had to go." A little slow on the uptake, that's okay, you'll wake up. There is an old song, copywritten over 100 years ago, 1913. That copyright was renewed in 1941. It is not in your songbook. I've checked. But some of you older people may remember the song, "Brighten the Corner Where You Are." I'd like to read the first stanza and the chorus of that song to set the tone for today's sermon. "Do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do. Do not wait to shed your light afar. To the many duties ever near you now be true. Brighten the corner where you are." Chorus. "Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are." Our text this morning will come from Matthew chapter 5. If you'd care to be turning there, here we find Jesus beginning the Sermon on the Mount, and right after the Beatitudes, he makes only one point in verse 13, "You're the salt of the earth." And then this is what he says, and our text is taken from Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I like the King James that says, "Let your light so shine." I want to indelibly imprint upon our minds the idea of letting our light shine. Brighten the corner where you are. And here we find King Jesus saying that we need to be like him. After all, he said, "I am the light of the world," John 8, verse 12. Now, there's a little difference because light, he is light, 1 John 1, verse 4. He is light, and we will shine only as Jesus shines in and through us, and only to that proportion, may I say. And so when he says, "So let your light shine," he is referring back to two of the prior illustrations. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, and you don't light a lamp and put it under something. You put it where it can show light. And it's interesting here that the purpose is stated in verse 16 of our text. We are to let our light shine so that others, the world, may see our good works and do what? Glorify God. That's it. Light does not draw attention to itself. The ultimate is that we are to give glory to God. I believe that that is just for us to talk about brightening the corner where we are is just a catchy way of saying and remembering exactly what our text is saying. Now, when I started developing this sermon, and my wife will remember about 2 weeks ago, I was reading a book, and it was Reader's Digest. That's what it was. And there was an illustration. Some of you may have read that, where this man made mention of this. And I said, that'll make a sermon. And I immediately started developing the sermon before us today, and you're guinea pig. You're the first time I've ever preached this sermon, and I'll preach it next Sunday in Belle Plaine, Kansas. So anyway, brighten the corner where you are. When I started developing the sermon, I thought, you know, really, the bottom line is we want to be like Jesus. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was the modern martyr under Adolf Hitler, call Jesus the man for others. In Acts 10, verse 38, we are told that Jesus went about doing good. Everywhere Jesus went, he was shedding forth light. He was brightening the place where he was. Why? Because he had his eyes open to see opportunities to serve people and to brighten people's lives. That's why he was able to do so much. He wanted to brighten people's lives. And that really, there was an attitude that predated his coming that stated in Philippians 2 and verse 7 that said that he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. He emptied himself. He stated in a little different way in Luke 22:27. When he says, I am among you as one who serves. I suggest to you that that is what is involved in brightening the corner where you live. Three words that I thought about Jesus that I think we need to be like him. He was accessible, available, and flexible. Think about it. In Matthew chapter 9, we find just in this one chapter, we find three different instances where people would come and would interrupt him. Jairus, the woman with the infirmity, and the two blind men. And each time, Jesus would brighten their lives and would serve them. A statement that I heard when I was attending Affirming the Faith seminar a couple of weeks ago, and I had written that down, so that was on my mind. And I want to share this with you. Jesus loved and served, get this now, marginal people. Amen. I want that to soak in. The leper, the blind, the deaf and dumb. Marginalized people. He wasn't going after those that felt they didn't have a need. He was going to brighten the corner wherever he could, and he was looking at whoever he could serve. It made no difference. And then as I was going through my files, I found something that was written by an anonymous person. I don't know who did it. But I thought, that makes application of the very thing that I'm talking about right now. He said, I may not be able to walk on water as Jesus did, but I can walk on the floor of a poor man's house. I may not be able to heal the sick, but I can hold the hand of someone who's sick and pray with. I may not be able to raise the dead, but I can give my money to support and to furnish clothes and shelter for the poor. I may not be able to turn water into wine, but I can turn my money into food for the needy. I cannot still the storm on Galilee, but I can calm the heart of a neighbor. I may not be able to open the eyes of the blind, but I can share God's light to those in darkness. Amen. I cannot restore a deaf person's hearing, but I can share with him or her what they need most, the story the sweet story of Jesus. Turn in your Bibles now to Philippians chapter 2. Another statement that I heard while I was attending a funeral, a graveside funeral, and the man made the statement, and this is my second major point today, life is not about you. I want that to soak in. Life is not about you. The emphasis, the focus for Christians is others. Let's read it now. Philippians 2, beginning with verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And this forms the background for Jesus. And what we just earlier, I mentioned Philippians 2, 7. There it is. This is the context. Let's continue our reading now with verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. One book later, I'm in Ephesians 5 and verse 21. The NIV, I like the way it says, puts it. The NIV says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Today's Living Bible states it this way. Honor Christ by submitting to each other. Submit means to yield. It means to consider another person's feelings and needs. It means to put others ahead of self. It means to treat others with respect. And it involves the desire and the action to help make another person's life better. Brighten the corner where you are, looking for opportunities to help other people. John R. W. Rice has said, there is no such thing as serving God without helping others. Amen. And there is a poem entitled Others by C.D. Meigs that I just think fits the bill here. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer will be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain may the efforts be to arise again unless it is to live for others. If you want to change the world, you go into a dark world and you brighten the corner with the light of Jesus Christ. And all that Jesus did, you do for others as best your ability allows you to do. Helen Steiner Rice has put it this way in a very well-written poem, in my estimation. When someone does a kindness, it always seems to me that's the way God up in heaven would like all of us to be. For when we bring some pleasure to another human heart, we have followed in His footsteps, and we've had a little part in serving those around us. We serve and please Him too. Aesop, the ancient philosopher, well known for his fables, Aesop wrote, "No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted." And I don't care what it is. It's not that we're talking about doing something great. What we're talking about today is brightening the corner where you are with your influence, with what God has given you. Now, that brings me to the third major point, if you're following in the outline. And incidentally, if you did not get an outline, please pick one up and take it home with you. That will be your way of having something that that will allow this sermon to live on. And you can read it. You can pass it out to other people. I don't leave blanks in my outlines for this reason. A person doesn't have to hear the sermon to be able to get some good out of it, because it's all right there. And so be sure you get the outline. But the third major point says, just do what you can when you can. Make it a way of life to do an act, an unselfish act, impulsively. Just have it built into your psyche that you're looking for something, and just on impulse, you get an opportunity, you react. I'm going to brighten the corner of that person, and I will help them feel good about themselves. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Little boy said, when I grow up, I want to have glasses just like Grandma. And he went on to say that the reason he said that was that Grandma could tell when people were hungry or sad, and she could even see what it would take to make them feel better. And he asked her how she could see so well, and she says it was because of the way she had learned to look at things. And I think that that's what we need. We need perhaps some glasses just like Grandma. And it doesn't have to be something that is great or incidentally even is physically helpful. In Matthew 26 and verse 10, we find a woman breaking the alabaster of expensive perfume and anointing Jesus with that. And Jesus says, she's done a good work or deed to me. And I looked it up, and the Greek on that word good means praiseworthy, notable, commendable, pleasant. I want this to soak in. Not everything that you do has to be something filling a need. Flowers don't last very long, but they are remembered. A painting on a wall doesn't insulate that wall. Perfume doesn't protect the body against the elements. But you began doing things for people, and it shows I care. Hang in there. I want to encourage you. Now, we're not talking about some great thing. It could just simply be a word. You know, Proverbs 25:1 says, a word fitly or aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Just be a word of encouragement. Looking great today, or prayed for you. Now, don't lie about that. But seriously, if you prayed for somebody, how do you feel if somebody says, praying for you, brother, sister? Why, that affects you. You're going, whoa. Somebody has thought enough about me to lift me up in prayer before God. I did that with a woman just yesterday, and she was emotional. She woke up Thursday morning. 3 years ago, her left eye had gone blind to where you can just barely see anything. And this last Thursday morning, she woke up blind in her good eye. She will go have surgery this Thursday. And I got email from the secretary. So I called Sister Ruth, had prayer with her. She was emotional before my phone call was over. She said, oh, I just appreciate it so much. Brighten the corner. And that may be all it is just a phone call. Or maybe a note. You'd be surprised. You send just a little note. People don't throw those away. You brighten the corner of somebody. How And I'm not telling you how to do it. What is comfortable to you, however you want to do it. But you determine, I'm going to brighten the corner where I am today. Before I pillow my head tonight, someone's going to be happy that I'm alive. I'm going to brighten the corner of whoever I can in whatever way I can. And let me tell you, people, that is biblical. Here come the scriptures. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. Galatians 6 and verse 10. As you therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men. Romans 12 verse 15. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And we shouldn't have to be hit on the head with the proverbial bat to be able to do it. Here's a statement that I gleaned out of my notes that I want you to take home with you. No Christian should ever suffer alone. No Christian should ever suffer alone. But you know, everybody that comes into our life is important. And that brings me with another statement. It's a first-class mistake to treat anyone as a second-class person. A man tells a story, true story. It was his night school, and apparently the cleaning lady cleaned at night in this school. And the professor had a pop quiz, and the last question on the pop quiz was, what is the first name of the cleaning lady that cleans the school? And one of the students says, is this going to count on our grade? And the professor answered, absolutely. In your lives, in your careers, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention and care, even if all you do is smile and say hello. Brighten the corner where you are. Sidney J. Harris, a columnist, I believe he's passed on now, but several years ago, he tells of having a fractured foot. And I thought the fracture and broken is the same thing, but it's not like a stress fracture. And so anyway, he had to hobble around on his foot, and he had to use a cane. And he said, while he had that cane, while people were so courteous, they opened the door and they gave him room in the elevator. But he says, the moment that he laid down his symbol of deficiency, as he called it, he said it was reverted back to, you know, everybody for himself. And he said it had dawned on him that everybody has a broken bone somewhere. And that emotional bones are very sensitive and tender also, just as much as physical bones. I thought, you know, he's right. He's right. So everybody is hurting in some way. Why don't we be sensitive and try to help those people as best we can? And I think that that is one of the things that we probably overlook. I now want to motivate you to want to brighten the corner where you are by telling you three true stories. I say they're true, because I think that makes them not just a preacher story, but that makes them go home and maybe it will affect you. This man got on a airplane. It was going to be a long flight. He sat down and got ready mentally to make the long flight. And just before they took off, there came a line of soldiers down the aisle and surrounded all the seats around him. And he asked one of the soldiers where they were going, And he was told, and he said, and after 2 weeks of training, we're going to be deployed to Afghanistan. Well, about an hour into the flight, the intercom said that they could were going to be serving sack lunches for $5. And the man thought, well, that would help to pass the time of day and the such. And as he reached in to his to get his billfold out, he heard one of the soldiers say to the other, you're going to get a sack lunch? And the other soldier said, well, that sounds like it's pretty high for just a sack lunch. I'll wait till we get to the base. And the man knew this was a long flight, several hours. And he looked around, and not a one of those soldiers was getting a sack lunch. On impulse, he got up, he walked to the back, and he handed the steward a $50 bill. He said, take a sack lunch to those soldiers. She thanked him profusely. It wasn't very long until she came back to his seat, and she said, do you prefer beef or chicken? He said, chicken, but why? She didn't even answer him. It wasn't very long. She came back with a plate from first class. She said, that's our thanks. It wasn't very long after that till the flight captain. He saw him walking down the aisle, looking only on his side, came to him, stuck out his hand, and he says, I used to be an Army pilot. Someone bought me a meal, and I never forgot it. And all the plane embarrassed the man as they all applauded. He determined to brighten the corner where he was. The next one is also a true story. Howard Kelly was selling things door to door. It was very hot, and he was very hungry. And he determined that he would ask for something to eat at the next house. But when the door opened, there was a very lovely young woman. And in his embarrassment, he couldn't bring himself to ask for it. But he did ask for a glass of water. She must have sensed that he was hungry, because instead of water, she came back with a very large glass of milk. And when he got through drinking that, he said, how much do I owe you? She said, Mama taught us to never take pay for kindness. Now remember, I'm not telling you a story. I'm telling you something that is true. Years later, this woman became very ill, and the doctors were baffled as to what they could do for her. And they sent her to the big city to the specialists. And there was a consultant called in. His name was Dr. Howard Kelly. When he saw the town the woman was from, a strange light filled his eye. He walked down the hall and opened the door. And it was that woman. He recognized her. A lot older. He dedicated himself to helping her win, save her life. And he won. He asked that they send him the bill for observation. And when he got the bill to give to her, he wrote on the side of it. And when she read the bill, he wrote, paid in full with a glass of milk. Brighten the corner where you are. My last illustration comes from Reader's Digest, July of 1985. Another true story. Tony Yerkew, spelled Yurkew, was the son of an immigrant from the Ukraine. It was the Depression, 1932. Times were hard, and these people, they just had to make do with what they could. He had holes in his shoes and socks. There was a teacher, and this was in Minneapolis. It's got the name of it all right here. If you want to see my article afterwards, I'd loan it to you to look at, but I've got to take it with me today. But Mrs. Hansen was the teacher, and she saw that he had some great needs. And so one day, she said, "Come with me." He thought he was going to the principal's office. He thought, "What in the world have I done?" But that wasn't where they were going. They went down to the Goodwill store, Minneapolis Goodwill store. And she said, "Sit down." And he said, "I sit down." And she asked, "Have you got a pair of secondhand shoes to fit this boy?" And they measured him up and said, "No, we don't have any." She said, "Then I'll take a pair of long black socks." And he said that his heart fell to his toes. If he could get some shoes, you know, and now he's only going to get socks. But outside, he turned to go to the school, and she went the other direction. She went to a dry goods store. To make a long story short, she bought him a shiny new black brogans with high tops, and he says here, real laces instead of buttons. Now, this is back in 1932, and probably most of you wouldn't remember some of those things. But the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, is what just really pull at your heartstrings. Soon after that, the school was closed. Students and teachers went everywhere, and he lost track of Mrs. Hansen. He went on to win. He graduated from high school. He won a Purple Heart in serving in the infantry in Okinawa, became an engineer, first for the Northern Pacific Railroad and then Burlington Northern. He organized blood drives, and 26 years he performed in schools and hospitals as a clown with the Fraternal Order of Eagles. But in 1970, he had a massive heart attack. And while he was in the hospital, he thought about Mrs. Hansen. And he knew he had some unfinished business that needed to be taken care of. In August of 1984, Tony Yerkew, 62 and grandfather of three, wrote the Minneapolis Teachers Retirement Fund, and a few days later received a phone call from the daughter of Mrs. Hansen, informing her that 15 years ago they'd moved to Southern California. She gave Tony their phone number. He called her and recognized her voice over the phone after 50 years. And he said that, "I'm going to fly to California, and I'm going to take you and your husband out for a meal." And she said, "Oh, but that's so expensive." He said, "I don't care." On September the 28th, Tony Yerkew flew to San Diego, rented a car, bought a bouquet of red long-stemmed roses, and drove to the mobile home park in Escondido, where the Hansons lived. Ruth Harriet Hansen, 84, met him at the door in her best dress, her gray hair freshly curled, her eyes sparkling. Tony took them out to eat, and he shared with her what all he had been doing with his life. And he says, "You see what you started?" And she said, "Oh, how could I ever thank you?" Tony squeezed her hand. "Just think how much interest I owe you for the shoes." A few weeks later, Tony received a note in perfect Spencerian script from Ruth Harriet Hansen. in my career, I have had many commendations and letters of appreciation from former students, she wrote, but what you did for me was the light of my life. Amen. Brighten the corner where you are. And let me also say, don't forget that people have spiritual needs also. The greatest blessing you can give is to introduce someone to the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. Amen. To let others know what motivates you is the one who gave His very life for them. I want to tell you a last true illustration. This comes from World Radio News, and this actually happened also. A woman was shopping in a grocery store, and a perfect stranger came up and complimented her hair and said, "Oh, your hair looks so nice. Who does your hair?" Now, instead of just giving her, thanking her for the compliment, giving her the phone number or the name of the beautician, she said, "Would you like for me to make an appointment for you?" And that way, she got the woman's name and her phone number, and she knew when the appointment was. True story now. World Radio News. She knew when the appointment was, so she went there and personally introduced the lady to her beautician and began a conversation with her. And to make a long story short, she won her to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You think she didn't brighten her life? I'm telling you, brighten the corner where you are. And I will tell you, my last major point, you will be blessed. Now, I understand all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6 and Luke 17 and verse 10 tells us, when you've done all that is commanded of you, say we're unworthy slaves, we've done what we ought to do. I understand that. But Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for, that means for the purpose of, good works. And you do the good works, and God is going to bless you. Whoever gives a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 42. So we are going to be blessed if we determine we want to brighten the corner where we are. As you therefore have opportunity to do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. I go back to the Galatians 6 and verse 10. First Corinthians 15 verse 58, Hebrews 10 6 verse 10. God is not unjust to forget our work and labor of love, which you have done in ministering to the saints. A last passage, and I've preached long enough, but let's look at a last passage. Luke 14, verses 13 and 14. Luke 14, verses 13 and 14. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And so you brighten the corner where you are, and you're going to be blessed. I've got two last statements. William Penn said, he who does good for goodness' sake seeks neither praise nor reward, but he is sure of both. And then Sir James Barry said, those who bring sunshine to the lives of others cannot keep it from themselves. I hope that the sermon this morning has touched a nerve, has caused you to say, that's what I want to do with my life. I want to brighten the corner where I am with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting Him shine through me to the world. If you have a spiritual need today, perhaps you want to obey the gospel, I would imagine that there is someone that has never determined, I'm going to confess the name of Christ and submit to baptism. to then allow myself to then be raised to walk in newness of life, showing the world what Jesus means. Or it could be that you want to rededicate your life. If you have any spiritual need, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.